I'm Zena.
And I'm Renee.
Welcome to When You Just Want a Glass of Wine, a podcast dedicated to making wine drinking more approachable and inclusive. Join us as we decode the language and unlock the customs of wine drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, you ready for this, Renee?
No.
This might be the only time this happens in the years we're going to be doing this podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to this edition of Zena Apologizes to Renee. Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
We are toasting right now with a Riesling. This is the Riesling, an Austrian Riesling. So this would be what is this Riesling? A dry Riesling.
Mm.
And I have asked Renee to come back and have us do this little entree because I made a mistake, but more than that, so did Andrew Stover. Andrew, are you listening to me? So, for many, many years, I have served influence Riesling in my restaurants and at Beauty Champagne and Sugar. And up until...
This is not an Austrian Riesling, though. You said it was an Austrian Riesling.
No, this one is. I don't have influence in the glass. Okay. See where all this is okay. going? There's a point to why this is confusing.
All right, okay.
So for many moons, I have served influence Riesling, which I absolutely love. And influence Riesling about 2024 had about 13 grams of sugar in it and about 11.5% alcohol. Mm-hmm. Now, on the scale of sugar, 13 grams settles... Finally, right there in the off dry, right there, 10 plus is off dry.
And it's a beautiful Riesling.
It goes with spicy foods, Thai food, Indian food, all of that. And I have always talked about it. I have said I could blind taste Finger Lakes Riesling wines. So I decided for the Riesling episode called Acid Drip, that I was going to use influence as our off dry wine. And actually, ironically, an Alsatian Riesling not a dry one, but it was actually an off dry. And as it turned out, the 2024 edition vintage of Influence Riesling had only 7 grams of sugar, which falls solidly into the
dry
category. Yes, it does. And I should have listened to our dear friend Holly, who is a WSET level 4 diploma, who when I gave it to her to taste, thinking she would be solidly on my side, flipped it around, right?
To prove
you wrong, flipped it around and said, Zena, it's now a different alcohol. Higher alcohol, lower sugar. So it was now at 12.6, where it used to have been at 11.5. And right there when she said that, I knew she was right. I was still fighting the Renee was right, though. So I texted Andrew, who texted the winemaker of Influence, to ask what it was. And he texted straight on back, because the world is small. And, you know, when you text over to your wine rep and your somm, and he texts over to Eric, who owns Influence, and Eric texts back and said, yeah, it's a little bit drier.
It's a little bit drier.
And I said...
Also known as dry.
I said, put the level, like they do in the Willamette Valley, put the level of dryness on the back. So I have been selling. And I said to Andrew, I said, wait, you told me this was dry. And he said, well, I'm sorry. So you told me it was off dry. You told me you tasted it. He goes, well, I guess I didn't taste the 2024 vintage. So lesson learned. What do we keep doing?
We keep tasting and we keep learning.
And learning and tasting different vintages and not assuming one vintage is over the other. I have not, although I should have in this genuine, long-winded, as I am, apology, researched the weather that happened. I made an assumption that perhaps there's some change in climate or whatnot. But I did not research what happened in that year. So, lessons learned. Vintages change.
Vintages change.
Right? Alcohol, sugar levels change.
Climate change.
Yep, climate change is going to keep on changing.
And so, winemakers have choices that they make.
Right. And so, especially when it comes to Riesling, which we do love.
We do love a Riesling.
And I did give you a little ringer with the Alsatian that was more off dry than normal, right? And ironically, a Finger Lake Riesling that was more dry than off dry. I hereby, Renee, bow down to you and apologize and toast you. Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you. No bowing necessary, but thank you for the apology. I'm like, I swear, that is dry.
It was dry.
I did all my WSET tricks. I was like, it's not sticky. It's not any of these things. It's great. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. Just go with it.
Okay. Wait, which one do you have in your glass that you're doing this with?
I'm going to do the influence, my favorite.
I love it. I am totally doing the Tegirsenhof.
The influence, 2024 Riesling from the Finger Lakes. Delightful.
You know, I love a good Mittelbach. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Welcome to this episode of When You Just Want a Glass of Wine. Renee, we are taking not just a deep dive, we are taking a trip.
An acid trip,
because we love that joke.
We love that joke.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh my gosh. This is delicious. So in our glasses right now, I have my Tegirsenhof Riesling from Austria. It is a bone dry Riesling. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is part of the four wines we tasted for Renee's What's in Renee's Glass. And Renee has chosen...
I have chosen the 2024 Riesling from Influence Wines in the Finger Lakes, which is supposedly off dry. I call that a bald face lie. No, that's a, it's the,
it's just so pretty.
It's one of the most beautiful Rieslings I've ever had. Yeah. It's absolutely delightful. It's white flower on the nose. It's mineral. It's austere. It's got some of that spice tea. It's got a bunch of stuff going on in it. And that's terroir and everything else. And
yeah,
I love it. And I think it just goes to show that even if you like high acid, super dry, cool climate, Rieslings, an off-dry that's exceptionally well-made by extraordinary winemakers.
Yep.
You're going to love it.
And there's only like 3,000 plus cases made of this. And I have been carrying Influence for 20 years through different restaurants because I just think it's so pretty. And when people come in and break my heart and say, do you have anything sweet? And I go, yeah, I got this off-dry.
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. So today we are going to talk about Riesling. Did you know that Riesling used to be more expensive than Bordeaux wines and champagne?
I only know that because you told it to me in the last.
I know.
I did not know that, but it is a noble grape.
Exactly. And I think people don't realize that. So let's talk a little bit about the history of this grape. It actually goes back to 1435 in Germany, when a count purchased Riesling vines from his vineyards, and there it spread along the Rhine and the Mosel rivers because they had these beautiful steep slate slopes. Oh my gosh, after four
Say
glasses.
That three times.
After some four glasses of Riesling, that was really tough. But so the grape has natural high acidity, and so the terroir really comes out on it. And then by the 18th and 19th centuries, it had become one of the most prestigious wines in Europe, and it's easy to see why, particularly today when we were drinking both the Austrian and a little bit of a ringer, the Raleigh-Gassman from Alsace. Which is normally, Alsatian wines are normally a bit of a drier Riesling. That this definitely had some, it was a bit off dry, so, but super pretty, super pretty. And then monasteries and estates bottled it. It was a sign of status. But then comes the 20th century.
Yeah.
And blew none.
We blew it.
Yep, we did blew it. And what there was called the Liebfrau Milch. And it just basically flooded all the markets.
Like that sounded.
Yep. And it really flooded all the markets. And then Germany put in a system of dryness that really confused things. And Riesling just became less desirable.
To the general public.
Yes.
Although I will say, Riesling is one of those extraordinary grapes that it's in its... I don't know, judgment. How do I say this? In its most consumed, most popular form, the super sweet, that kind of a thing that's like floods the market and is successful. It's popular with a lot of people. It's also popular with wine geeks and like super wine people, but they're drinking a different kind of Riesling. But it just shows the incredible the versatility
of
that varietal.
We should not have four Rieslings before we do this, podcast. So, right. So it's Germany, Austria, Alsace, very well known from there. Mm-hmm. Sweet, dry, and then a sweet, dry style. Michigan, where we had our Left Foot Charlie, the Finger Lakes, which is what you're drinking, Influence.
Absolutely.
Washington State, Australia, Clare and Eden Valley. We have a Pusey Vale, and of course, the bone dry beauty of the Rieslings of Willamette Valley, Oregon. Even when we did Pinot Camp, we actually did an entire thing on Rieslings because they are so beautiful. So today, sommeliers and wine geeks like us just love having a Riesling. So why don't you talk a little bit about, because you just tasted through this, so why don't you talk a little bit about the different styles, this kind of off-dry, the different flavors that you experienced while we were going through this?
Well, one of the things to know about this varietal is this grape is that it grows, I think, best in cool climates. And what that means is you're typically going to have a lot of acid. Just like in champagne, the champagne grape's like a super high acid. Sometimes you pick it early. You need a little sugar to offset that acid, or otherwise it's going to be like the worst Sour Patch Kid you've ever had in your life. And you're like, wow, that's not good. So wine is all about balance, right? It's all about bringing the balance together. And so in some of these instances, in some of these locations, when they harvest, the best presentation and expression of that wine is you add a little sugar to it. You keep the residual sugars in because you want to balance that acid out so it's not like a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
Right.
And there are some off-dry Rieslings that are lovely. And you would I would have never in my life picked that. In fact, I picked it as the driest wine.
Isn't that interesting? And because it was so balanced.
It's so balanced. Yeah. And the terroir and the minerality and all these other things going in. It's incredible. But so you do have that. So you have the sweet Rieslings, and there are sweet Rieslings. And when I first came to
I was going to say that the Trocken and the Trocken Baron
Auslese. Trocken Baron Auslese.
There you go. Well said. Auslese, Baron
Auslese. Easy for you to say. You have to kind of sound angry when you're saying that.
See, the four Rieslings help with that one.
Yeah, it does help with that. So you have the sweeter ones, and there are and some of those are like they're incredibly well balanced. They're they're very
well
made.
There's nothing wrong with a beautifully sweet
intentional
Riesling.
Sweet Riesling, and you have that if you have an American palate. You have that with something spicy. You have that with, you know, whatever your favorite Mexican food is,
or grab across the street from Beauty and go over to Urban Thai and get something spicy over there, or some Ethiopian spicy.
Yeah, it's the greatest part, right? Right. Diversity. Have all this stuff and have sweet wines with it. That's a perfect expression of it. If you like a little drier wine and you like some crisp citrus or some crisp apple and things like that, you can also get it with honey flavors. Like, it still balances seafood.
Yeah.
This is a food wine. This is an incredibly food-friendly wine.
As soon as you said that,
with sausages. Yeah. Come on, Germany.
Yeah. Right.
Schnitzel, have something with it. You can have it. It's incredible.
I think a trout, like a trout carpaccio with a little dry Riesling, is just amazing. I know you're not the seafood, but this is what 100%. Goes together.
What grows together goes together. And you know, you can also anything that you have that's like a thicker, like a high fat content, you put some acid in it, which is what this wine is, and you're balancing it, and it's going to be lovely.
And speaking of, you know what we're missing? We have not actually discussed the sparkling, the Sekt, S-E-K-T. So we have the Steininger Bone Dry Riesling that we do sell in a box. It's a gift box. It's beautiful. That is one of my, it literally is on the shelves of Beauty that says one of Zena's favorites. It is so pretty because it takes, it's done in the traditional method. So it's done in a champagne style. It's done by a wonderful family. They do the, you know, the turns and the second fermentation in the bottle, but it doesn't, it has this beauty that also doesn't have sometimes that brioche that gets a little too much of the champagne. And I absolutely love it. And of course the Steininger's Dry Riesling thing regular is delicious, but
I mean, I love me some brioche, but you're 100% correct. That I mean, you take any of my favorite wines and make them sparkling, and odds are I'm going to be happy with it.
And this is, and we don't talk about that. Finding a Riesling, if you're in the store and you're like, I want to do something different. Now, again, prices are going up a little bit, but like, you know, be kind, be gracious, and realize that
you don't have
right
it every
now,
day.
No,
it's not your everyday. You know, you can always.
I mean, I would.
But. I mean, I exactly.
But yes, yeah.
Every day is relative. Yeah. When you're studying, it's research.
It's research.
It's a beautiful wine.
And that's the thing that you were just saying. Every day, the thing about, I think people don't realize about Riesling too, is they have an incredible ability to age.
They do. Yeah. It's one of the. White wines, the white varietals that can age, and it's remarkable because of that's that high acid. You get that high acid allows that development to happen, and they're still relatively low alcohol as well.
I mean, you were surprised that influence was 12.5%.
Yeah,
I mean that's kind of an easy quaffable one.
Yeah, that's what all of these were easily quaffable. Yeah.
I mean, I was taking a look at these.
They're low alcohol. You can
I can't see anything on here.
If you're going to, they're what we would call day drinking wines. You can drink need a nap in the afternoon.
The Austrian one is 13%.
A little bit higher.
Yeah, no, I think this is, they're all, you look, the one from Michigan, 11.7%.
Yeah, these are low alcohol.
So these are wines that you can kind of drink and have a little bit what we call eminently quaffable. And of course, the Austrian, which is drier, is at 13.5%.
Yeah.
But it's still not 15.
No. These are not, this isn't your,
Yeah,
the big brand California Central Cabernet.
So you know when we're over visiting the middle box and tasting what I call the tea wine, because it's such a long name and I should say it a little bit a little bit better here. The so this is the Reed Steinertal Riesling Smarat, which means the higher, basically the higher level, the Tegernseerhof. We're going to be right there in the town next June, sipping some of this wine and having a little bite. I'm going to be having the trout with it. You can have whatever you want.
I will have anything but the trout with that.
I mean, and that's
I fish for trout. I just don't eat it.
Yeah, but let's talking about that. Let's talk about, you know, us. We are geeks on terroir.
Yes.
And how that affects wine. So let's talk about some of the places here. Let's be more specific about kind of where these grapes are grown.
Okay. So we just talked a little bit about the Finger Lakes, the influence wine. And you were saying that, I mean, that's a very distinctive terroir there. You've got the slate.
Yes.
I think you've got that slate finish, and that's going to certainly impact that.
And it's so cold. I mean, climate changed so a little bit, but
things are starting to change. And this is
maybe that really affecting the change from that. Really, I remember it being a lot more off dry. I'm wondering.
Yeah,
it's a really good question that we should have thought. Is the change in the climate really affecting that off dry? Because
sure
it's not getting as riper, right?
Yeah, you're going to start to see it. And again, and typically this is you have to have either a cool climate or a pocket that can get cool.
Yes.
So when you think of like Eden Valley, the dry Riesling in Pusey Vale, the Pusey Vale Eden Valley dry Riesling that we also have here, that you're going to have these estates, you're going to have these different areas that they're going to have a pocket where you can get that cool climate.
And that's very high altitude in that area.
And it's very high altitude, and that's the offset, right? Mm-hmm. Like you think it's super hot there in Australia. That's where you get those big alcohol wines and those big jammier fruit and things like that. But that's one that's a perfect example. So why don't you talk about the Alsace?
Oh, yeah. And I was going to say that Pusey Vale also is one of the wines that can age. That was one of the ones we did for our wine club, and the response to it was wonderful. I mean, you bought like 3 or 4 more bottles of it.
Yes, and the problem is 43 minutes. That's how long we age the wines. I'm like, I mean, I could age it, or I could have it tonight because it's, as you said, imminently quaffable.
So the Alsatian wines tend to be, the Rieslings normally are known for being a drier wine.
Right, because it's a northern.
Right, and that's what people think. And I remember we did, I've done Gabrielle Kruther 3 times in my life, and I absolutely love it. A wonderful restaurant right off of Bryant Park in the city, New York City. And the third time I did it, we did the Alsatian menu and paired it with all Alsatian wines because he's Alsatian. Anyhow, when I went to look for one, I thought that's what we would be getting. I said, I really want, you know, I wanted really too dry, too off dry. And Andrew gave us this Raleigh-Gassman Riesling, which leads towards more of some residual sugar, but it was so rich. It was textured.
Incredibly. It was not a typical Riesling.
Mm-hmm. The mouthfeel was elegant.
Andrew's still angry that I got his too on my...
That's right, the Shannon's with that waxy.
The two blends that he got me in. So now he's trying to trick me and all the things. That was a lovely wine. Mm-hmm. It's not a prototypical Riesling, and it's not a prototypical Riesling from Alsace.
But it fits right into...
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah. So
no, it's beautiful.
Diverse soils there, and you really got... I mean, we got both that peach and that honey, but we also got some spice on it. And in this instance, it had the... we should have probably looked a little bit to see how high that the residual was. But this, to me, again, you know, I keep talking. I know you're not a fish person, but these are things that really go beautifully. You know, what goes together grows together.
Absolutely.
Grows together, goes together, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, you could, when you eat Rieslings really specifically, we eat Rieslings. When you drink Rieslings really specifically, I always get an idea of what I want to eat with
Who
them.
Who stole the cork from my lunch? That's a Winston Churchill quote.
So. we're doing great on this. So that was one of the things that I loved most about this. Very rich and very aromatic, and very much compared to the dry, bone dry, powerful Rieslings out of Austria. And then, as you said, we had the New World wines, right?
And the Left Foot Charlie, which I already, the Pinot Blanc, I already had that in a previous tasting. Left Foot Charlie, and I've got to go there. I've already said, I have friends in Michigan. I've already sent them the links to all the Left Foot Charlie. I'm like, you must go there. These people are doing it the right way. And they have a really remarkable terroir there as well, because it used to be a glacier and all these different things. And so you get this minerality with it. You get all of this extra Just incredible things. It's all about, again, it's all about the balance. You're balancing acid, you're balancing sweet, you're balancing minerality, you're balancing all these things to create this magic in a bottle.
Yeah, and you know, with Left Foot, again, a very cool climate. You have the Lake Michigan coming in, yep. and that's affecting that, which really gives it. Now, a couple of other places that we really love, of course, Willamette Valley. Cool climate. Volcanic. Mm-hmm. Soils, which I
your
absolutely
favorite.
Love. Yep. And that one gets you more of that stone fruit, the floral, the citrus. Yep. I am such a fan of Rieslings. Willamette Valley, here's another little tip. If you're buying from Willamette Valley a Riesling, look on the back of the bottle because they actually have a sugar content scale.
Oh, yeah.
So if you flip it around, you can see the sugar content right there.
That's the way.
And then you could tell what it is that you like. And I think that's something like is, and again with the Austrian wines. Remember, the best way to find that, of course, is the looking at the flag on the top of the Austrian ones.
And I will say, if you're bone dry wines, and I would never even consider that. One, you're wrong, and you should. And I was the same person, and I say this from experience. I was the same person, and again, we did the chat before. Sonia Averill, who she was like, you're wrong, and she made me get a Riesling tattoo, temporary. Everybody in the wine club there had the Riesling tattoos. But don't just sit and drink it. Have it with food.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's a lot of, you're always looking for the balance in that, but have it with food. It's a very food, food friendly and food oriented wine. But also go to your local wine shop, go to the smaller wine shops, especially right now with the tariffs and everything. You know, the big stores will be fine. The local wine shops like Beauty, Champagne and Sugar Boutique here in National Landing.
Here in National
Landing. Crystal City, Arlington, Virginia, as we said, because somebody said last night, like, what's National Landing? I'm like, it's right here.
Right here.
Go to them and ask them and sit and talk with them. Nobody's going to judge you if you want anything. And you might even be able to get a taste and a taste with food and different things like that. Go in and take it as an adventure because it is. That's what wine is, and it should be treated that way. And
absolutely,
you should 100% have Rieslings in your
repertoire.
In your repertoire for wines, because also if you want to impress somebody, you're like, oh, we're having oysters tonight, and like a raw bar thing like that. You're like, you know what? Let me pour you this Riesling.
Yep,
that would be lovely from the Finger Lakes or Eden Valley in Australia.
That would go perfectly.
Yeah,
that
perfect.
Would go
perfectly.
Perfectly with oysters. The one place that we do not have wines from is Germany.
Right.
And I think a lot of people talk about, and I mean, I'm going to be honest, one of the, Dr. Lucin, it tends to lean towards the, is there any of them dry? They're all sweet. I don't even know. But a lot of people, if you're looking for a dry Riesling and you're in the wine shop, you don't know where to go and you see Germany or Austria, Austria is going to have the flag on the top of the bottle, red and white.
Red and white
it
stripes.
Will be drier. Germany will tend to be sweeter. And there's two regions in Germany. There's Mosel, and then there's the Rheingau. The Mosel is going to be a lower alcohol, high acid. It's going to be very cool, which means it's going to be more of a lighter body, more of that citrus lime and all that sort of stuff. And then the Rheingau is a southern facing, so that means it's going to have high acid, but it's going to be more of that stone fruit taste to it. And you know, that's kind of where if you're looking at Germany, you want to ask somebody. But if you're looking for dry versus sweet, that's just a
familiar,
good way to look
I think
at
more
it.
People are familiar with German Rieslings, which is why we kind of wanted to go and show like this is a varietal that is expressed all over the world,
yep.
and not just in Germany. And if you like a sweet Riesling from Germany,
just pair it, great.
A Marinaus Lasse, like go for it. Yeah. Like there's no judgment here. Like it's like absolutely if that's your jam. I like dry high acid whites, and so I go. But and again, my favorite was the off dry,
which
and I was like, they can't possibly be.
We really struck.
It
we
was
really
so balanced. I'm like, you guys, it was so balanced. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
And that just goes to show you, like, if you go with an open mind with wine, you may like it. And you know what? I've had some Indian dishes before that I thought I was gonna die.
Oh yeah,
they were so spicy. And I love Indian food. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, if I'd have had a German Riesling right there, it might have saved my life. Like
instead
that would have been the thing.
Instead of a glass of milk, right?
Ooh, instead of a glass of milk. Like it's going to drop that down. Like you're going to have a great experience with it. But go to your local wine shop and ask them, you know, for the thing. But that range on the back is great.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So let's talk about the thing that that people don't realize that aroma that you get out of Riesling, that people are like, wait, why does it smell like a car starting? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Petrol.
Yeah. And what else do they call it? Cut garden hose. So petrol comes really from that kind of the British style of explaining petrol, words, yes, right?
Gasoline.
So if you think of petrol, it does smell like that. Or just think cut garden hose, that kind of a scent that comes from
that. If you're on a busy highway or like at a gas station on a really hot rainy day, that smell that comes up from you, you're like,
yeah,
I know that makes you want to run right out and grab a Riesling. But it's, that is one of the profiles on the nose. Mm-hmm. You smell that. Mm-hmm. And that's an indication of value. You're like, oh, this is a Riesling. You don't get that on the taste. Like it's more,
no, it doesn't taste like that.
It's like the first time I went to, I had a Pinotage, a very young, this is early days Pinotage in South Africa. And my cousin was like, it's going to smell like burning tires. I'm like, I don't feel like that's a thing that I want to drink. And she's like, it doesn't taste like it. And it was delightful.
Yes,
taste,
but you know where I say that all the time.
I know, but it's the ozone.
The hole in the ozone.
But it's also, you know, it's a super hot climate. Yeah. They're dealing with a lot of things there. And that Pinotage is a hybrid grape that they had to come up with. But, you know, the petrol on a Riesling is, for me now, it took me a while to like try to identify that. And it's all practice. You got to practice on this.
Yes, you did when we started.
And the first one I was like, that's petrol. When I first started, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then at once I was like, oh, that's what you're talking about.
So think about that. I think the funniest was, is we were watching one of these little Facebook videos, Instagram, whatever. I was watching it with Jimmy, who's now become his own wine geek. Listen to Kelly talk. And there was a car that went right, he's a mechanic, of course, so he knows what petrol smells like. And a car went right through the grape, the vineyard. And the joke was how petrol gets into the grapes.
Like,
And we both started laughing because we were just really, really geeky about
that. You're like, that's
right?
The thing. So, yeah. So, that's a great flavor profile because it will often, that's kind of offset. Like, I think for me, in a really nice, balanced Riesling, even if you get what we would like typically kind of like call it like a sweet on the nose, a floral, a honeysuckle, a honey on the nose, you're going to have this thing that offsets it.
Right.
This minerality, this petrol thing that's coming in on the side. And it's, and again, think of it as in terms of that's part of the balance. That's part of the balance in the wine. You don't taste it. It's just part of the nose. But that's like one of the signal indicators that it's a Riesling.
Exactly.
If you're in a blind tasting.
And having a really good Riesling, an aged Riesling. So we talk a lot about myths and misperceptions. Once again, four bottles in.
Four tasting ports.
I know, right?
Let's be real.
I know. Also true. So one of the myths of Rieslings is, not only is Riesling is always sweet, but sweet means it's cheap.
Yeah, that's wrong on two fronts. That's wrong on two fronts. Yeah. Obviously, we've already talked about the fact that they're incredibly beautiful dry Rieslings, but there are sweet Rieslings, and there are sweet wines that are not inexpensive. They are, in fact, very expensive.
Right.
And because Rieslings can age, you know, age is one of the factors that controls the price and things like that. If it's age worthy, you will hear like, is it age worthy? Is it all this?
Yeah, Austrian wine is a $40 bottle.
Can it lay down? Yeah. So like
more actually.
Or more. Like you're gonna have these you know, think about it like this. Like you have a really lovely bottle of port. It can be expensive. You know, the same thing like sweet wines, sherry, things like that. So no, it's not inexpensive. Can you get inexpensive Riesling? Yes. Can you get inexpensive almost every single varietal in the world? Yes. Do you always want to drink it? No. Is sometimes it's okay? Yeah. It depends on the circumstances. But that's definitely a myth. Rieslings are very, they can be very high end. They are very much, again, they are the winemaker, the wine geeks sort of nerd out wine. When you're like, if you don't like Riesling, then that's telling.
Right.
About so you, kind of a thing in
look
the wine
at the,
world.
Again, the Alsatians would be more expensive. One of the ones that I was looking at here is there's an Egon Müller, and that apparently is basically like a $10,000 bottle of Riesling. So, but again,
I've not had that.
I have not had that either. But like a truck, and I mean, the thing about Rieslings that I like is if you get the
lingo. But also the influence was how much a bottle?
Oh, it's like $18 to $22.
It's like $18 to $22 a bottle.
It's super reasonable.
That is a magical Riesling.
Yeah, it's well priced. But you know, always look. So a German wine that's trucking has at least 9 grams. Of sugar in it. So the key to Rieslings also is literally, as we keep saying, ask people about it. So people also think of Rieslings as a beginner wine. Oh. Like for people who don't know wine.
Well, I don't have a problem with that because I think it can be a beginner wine. It can be a beginner wine because I think it does, even a dry Riesling can read sweet. And as Julia Coney, who's one of my wine podcast heroes, has said, Americans talk dry and drink sweet.
Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of people that think they don't like dry wines would be drawn to sort of the white floral, the honey, the sweet on the nose.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
Not recognize that it's a dry wine and all the complexities. So I think it can be a good beginner wine.
Yeah. And but in a positive way, not in a...
In a positive way, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
but
I
it can
drink
also,
Blue
you know...
Moon.
I mean, none. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're like, no... Yeah. I think it's a great, and I think it's a perfect example of a wine that can be a beginner wine that is, you know, high quality and made exceptionally well. It's like, and people look at price as well, and you're like, a beginner wine is also, you think of as being less expensive. You want something less expensive. But when I was coming up, like Portuguese wines and Spanish wines, you had extraordinary quality wines that were so well priced and such a good, you know, value for the buck at the time. My wine instructor last night, Kasia, was talking about the thing that was a case of wine, a Portuguese wine for $60. And she goes, you know, $5 a glass, bottle. She goes, I'm not unhappy with any of these glasses. Like, that's a good thing.
Right.
And I think Riesling can be that.
Right.
I think, you know, the blue nut kind of a thing, like the cheaper things, I think that's what people look at it in that regard. And I think one of the things that I love about wine right now that's happening in wine, and one of the things that I love that we're doing with our podcast, is these aren't rules, they're recommendations. And you know, the old rules are out. Like, you don't have to be snobby about it, and you can look at it and say, you know what, that's an extraordinary $18 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And you can get a $10 bottle of wine, but for $8 more,
yeah,
you can have an experience that you will remember and maybe even take your breath away at some point and go, oh, that's what all these wine people are talking about.
And to be honest, right now, you're all going to have to give all of the wine restaurants, wine shops grace, because everything's going up right now.
Everything's going up, yeah. But that's why you support your local places. Again, the big box stores are going to be fine.
So one of the things that I like about the geekiness is that Riesling is really expresses, you know, me, I'm a soil lover, right?
Yeah,
so same. There's granite, there's slate, there's limestone. I was reading something
all my
that
favorite
said,
things.
Right? I was reading something that said, scientifically, we don't know the difference and you can't tell the difference. And I swear that I just really feel like you can. And I thought that was interesting that it said scientifically you can't. But I just don't believe it.
I believe think it changes
tell.
The expression of the grape. I mean, I think everything does. And there was the one wine that I was tasting. I kept saying, it makes my tongue feel like I couldn't describe it. Yeah. I don't have the words yet. And every single time it was volcanic. It was a volcanic soil.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's it? And I'm like, okay, so now I'm trying to recognize that. And sometimes we just don't have the words. We don't know the vocabulary yet. And
you know there's something there. But
there's no shame in being a beginner. Like, there's no, for me, I'm like, that's.
Yeah. That's the way you learn.
It's the way you learn. Like, you know, I don't know what I don't know. It's one of our first podcasts. You don't know what you don't know. So we're learning that now. But yeah, no, soil is always going to change the expression of the wine.
Absolutely. I believe
the varietal.
Yeah. So another myth, that Riesling is hard to pair with food. Now, we've said this like throughout the whole podcast. Riesling is not hard to pair with food. I think it's just one of the easiest, actually.
It is. And I think that probably comes from the Blue Nun kind of a deal. Blue Nun's probably going to
I mean, I don't think any, right, right. I don't think anybody knows how great Riesling would go with turkey. I mean,
oh, Thanksgiving? It's
and Gewürz, you know, but I also like a Gewürz.
I like
turkey.
A Gewürz.
We did that last
yeah.
year. Remember, we did the Weiss Gewürz for Wine Club last year because I thought that would go fabulously. Yeah. We have another really fun one coming in for
Gewürz Schmieder, also a dry Gewürz, is one of my favorite things. And I, when I finally learned how to say that word, and then I said it like 75 times on the rest of that trip, and everybody got tired of me, but I'm like, dry Gewürz, but they have similar qualities. There's a lot of acid, you get a lot of white floral on the nose, things like that. And that's actually, I think, one of them I said, and it might have been the influence. I'm like, this reminds me of a Gewurz, of a dry Gewurz.
Yes, I think, I'm pretty sure that was it. And then speaking of the last thing that we've also discussed is that Riesling can't age. And age with age comes that petrol smell or that scent, but also you get this kind of honey and the dried fruit and all that. And because of the combination of acidity and sugar, you're talking, you could kind of preserve wines for 20, 30, 30 years or more. I mean, I think that's one of the really special things.
I'm going to have to just get one that's already been aged by somebody else because I don't have the patience. I'm Nick's like the 43 minutes typical American. I'm like, I don't want to wait for that.
So today we did we had some wonderful wines. Just to review, we had Left Foot Charlie from Michigan that really had that citrus, lime, high acid, slightly off dry. We love some Michigan wines. We love Left Foot Charlie, right? We had the Influence, your favorite, from the Finger Lakes. That's a region that's really well known. I used to say I could blind taste a wine from there, a Riesling from there, and having tasted it and thought about climate change, I might change that now because it's changing as the climate changes, as are the ice wines up in those areas, too. We had the Tegernsenhof Steinertal Smarat from Wachau, Austria.
Easy for you to say.
Oh, gosh, really? Wow. So Smarat is the ripest, fullest style in the Wachau. It's very dry. It was powerful. There was high alcohol in it.
And I love that that's the ripest style, and it's still super.
Oh, my gosh, right? Right, austere in the most beautiful way, right?
Love me some Austrian wine. Shout out to Klaus.
And then the surprising one, the Raleigh Gossmann from Alsace, where we expected to have a dry, but we had one that had peach and honey and a little bit of the residual sugar in
mouthfeel. It was like mouth coating. It was really lovely.
And then, interestingly enough, you started the dive when you needed to rinse off from the coffee in your protein shake with the Pusey Vale from Eden Valley, Australia, which we don't talk about a lot, but that's a high altitude one. So that's all that like lime zest, lemon curd.
I love that. That's been the wine I've had this summer.
And that has a lot of aging potential going on with that. Of course, we learned about the German wines, the different styles in the German wines as well, and how you want to do that, and the beautiful bone dry, although they do go sweeter as well, from Willamette Valley. So with all that said, Renee, where do you think, if you were to kind of do this all again and think about, where's your range of what you really love in this? In Rieslings.
I love Rieslings. I think is the best way to say it. I'm still going to go
more. What was the most surprising of those four?
The Influence.
Yeah.
Because I totally 100% would have said that was dry. Mm-hmm. Especially in the order that we did it. I was like, that's.
It had its own American personality.
It had such a great minerality. And and I almost said austerity at the point. I was like, this feels like it's austerity.
It had
austerity.
That old world precision a new world wine. That's why I kind of asked that question, with a new world winemaker style to it.
Style to it, yeah.
Yeah, which made it feel to you old world with that kind of specificity. Thank you. I can't say it. I don't know what's going on today. Of an old world style, but with a new world winemaker's hand. And I think the Alsatian, I thought was going to be the most challenging. But I think that was a really surprising one, right?
It is. I think so, too. And I think, you know, they usually say that Chardonnay is the winemaker's grape because it's so versatile and you can change it to anything. Riesling is, I think, like Riesling's like making a play for that, especially with climate change, because you're seeing things change and where they can grow things. And you're seeing Rieslings in different areas and different expressions of it. And you have to have a very unique climate for it because, again, you need that high acid. Picked early, but no, I love it. I'm still going to go towards the dry side.
Yeah, which one? Which one made you think this is what I expected and this is what I got?
I feel like it was the Austrian, the Austrian and the Pusey Vale, which I had as a second.
Oh yeah, the Pusey Vale, right?
The Pusey Vale 100% is still to me a zinc thing. But
the thing that I surprised most with the Pusey Vale when I first did the tasting for Wine Club is when you think Australia and you think Shiraz and ripeness and all of that, but yet you get this bone dry, acidic.
But I know that. Also, I think I've had it the entire summer, so I know that Riesling. Right. When I was like, we could do that one.
Yeah, but that's what makes that so interesting in Australia is that. On the other hand, you think of it as southern, warmer climate, riper fruits. But this Riesling in particular is kind of the opposite of that. And I think that's what makes it.
No, it's fantastic. It so and it just shows that, you know, climate and the location, latitude, altitude, all of that stuff matters. The soil matters, and the winemakers, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I think Riesling, high acid, beautiful history, endless style. I think it's Riesling in a glass is an absolutely wonderful thing. Renee, before we cheer out and remind everybody about our podcast, is there anything else you'd like to say about Riesling wines?
About Riesling wines. Well, my favorite winemaker.
Who would your favorite winemaker be?
Alicia Moore at Tubal's Wines. Actually, there's a photo out. That's a very funny photo where she's wearing a t-shirt that says, if you don't like Riesling, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, fair. I kind of like that up because I think it's a thing that you need to, even if you think you don't like it, mm-hmm. give it a try.
Right.
The worst thing that's going to happen is you pick a different glass of wine.
Right.
The best thing that can happen is you meet your new best friend mm-hmm. on, you know, a barbecue. You're grilling fish. You're out on the beach. You're doing something like that. You can also, because they are eminently quaffable, as you mm-hmm. said, you can just have this on the porch.
Right.
Like, you don't have to have food with it, but you can pair it with food, and it's amazing.
And the wonderful thing about an off-dry Riesling is you can open that up and put it in the fridge, and you could not, I mean, we all drink our wine right away, but, you know, let's just say it's a work week in September, and you need to let that save to the following weekend. It's going to sit in the fridge with that beautiful off-dry sugar that's going to actually get you through to the next weekend, and that's really nice.
It's going to be great.
So you can sit.
Try Riesling.
Yeah.
The thing is, try Riesling. Join the gang.
Yeah.
Riesling. Represent.
So if you like the podcast, and if you want to be on the podcast, or if you want to follow us, please like, follow, subscribe, Renee.
Like, follow, subscribe. Share it with your friends. Send us topics. You can send us topics in the comments. You can email us at whenyoujustwantaglassofwine@gmail.com. Go on the website, leave comments there as well, whenyoujustwantaglassofwine.com. But definitely share us. Help us spread the word if you like this. And we're loving doing this. And
stay tuned. We have...
we're loving your comments. We are getting comments. We're loving them. Please send more things in.
Please send more. We will be doing a couple of guy talks with Decanter, where Jimmy's going to try some fast food with Michael. We'll be doing something with Michelle from Decanter, talking about wine. We have Alchemy Forever coming up. We're hoping to do Compliments Only coming up. We got Dave McIntyre scheduled to be released soon. So by the time you hear this, you'll probably be out
His episode, not Dave. Dave's fine.
So anyhow, thank you so much for listening. Renee,
thanks for coming on this journey.
We got some Riesling to drink.
Cheers.
Cheers.
One pill makes you larger. There you
go. That was awesome. Oh my God, there's so much Riesling here.
That's not a problem as far as I can tell.
That changes.